are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Live stream viewers, we welcome you tonight. We're so glad you're with us. All our Facebook viewers, every social media platform, we welcome you right here. Or the television audience, we welcome you right here from Pretoria, all over America, on Faith Broadcasting Network, over Africa, over Europe. I pray that God touches you through that camera right where you are tonight, where you will be watching this, and that you will have a divine, a true encounter with God, that your life will never be the same. God bless you. Look at the person next to you, so you better get ready. Oh, we're going to have a lot of joy, a lot of fun, but we're going to have urgency. Not going to backslide any longer. Not going to live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You are going to be clear about your assignment, why Jesus placed you here. Luke chapter 12, verse 43. I read from the Message Jesus talking. He says, I've come to start a fire on the earth. That's what Jesus says. I've come to start a fire. Doesn't sound like some cold, lukewarm, silent religion. How I wish it were blazing right now. I've come to change everything. Turn everything right side up. How I long for it to be finished. Do you think I came to smooth things over and to make everything nice? Not so. I've come to disrupt and confront. From now on, when you find five in a house, it will be three against two and two against three. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against bride, and bride against mother-in-law. My father and I were very, very, very close. As a matter of fact, 2 weeks before I was born, he was about to die. The doctor said he was, that was it. His last wish, so he thought, was that I would have his names. Well, God spared him, and he still lived for another 20-something years. Hallelujah. We were very, very, very close. I mean, I don't want to say I was his blue-eyed boy, but I came close to being his blue-eyed boy because my brother and my sisters would not appreciate that. Many Afrikaans was your wit broer and your family. That was until I gave my life to Jesus. My dad and me were inseparable. I mean, he had no problem to loan me his car when I was 16 years old to take my girlfriend out. 16 years old, no license. Whoops. We went to church, but we just never got there. Okay, it wasn't like today. There weren't great churches like this. Okay. You went to worship God on Naval Hill. Okay, in Bloemfontein in any case. Okay. I would sit and watch rugby with him as a good man. Educated man, actually studied theology. Let me backtrack a little bit. He was part of a family of seven sisters. His mother prayed and said, if you give me a son, my son, I will give back to you for the ministry. Like Hannah made a prayer. Well, she conceived at an old age and she brought forth my father who studied theology, never answered the call of God on his life, went into banking and then went into business. Never answered the call of God. First time I heard that, I knew that God had called me. I can't tell you how I knew. I just knew that God's plan for my life was much bigger and way beyond myself. That really I'm walking in something that my grandmother prayed for. A vow that my grandmother made to God. A vow that my father never fulfilled. A vow that now came upon me. You better understand that the call of God is real. And that God is a generational God. And that God is very, 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 very pedantic who he calls. And at what time you are born. You could have been born in the Middle Ages. But God chose for you to be alive today. Because God has a plan for your life today. On planet Earth, where there are 8 billion people alive today. I mean, I used to go to all family gatherings and ate with my uncles and my aunts, and they all were churchgoers, deacons and elders in their churches. And everybody was comfortable with us as a family until my brother got radically saved and I got radically saved. Suddenly, we became like a hot potato to our family. Nobody knew what to do with us because wherever we went, we would talk about Jesus. When they asked me to pray at a Christmas dinner, I would pray the whole salvation prayer. I wouldn't just pray, Sheikh and Father, Sheikh and Yet, and laat ons nummer even geet. And I prayed, Father, I thank you that you love us and you sent Jesus to die for us. And you said, Jesus, whoever calls on your name will be saved. And you said, Jesus, that if you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you, confess with your mouth. And I would pray for 5 minutes and everybody would just sit there and that was it. Nobody drank wine. Nobody drank whiskey. Nobody drank. I just was a party pooper. Well, I'm not to blame. The one who saved me is to blame. Because when he saved me, he set me ablaze. When he saved me, he set me on fire. When he saved me, he changed every desire that I had. When he changed me, I was never the same again. And my dad did not understand it. Because his dream for me was to be in law. And that's what I started studying, knowing God called me to the ministry. So I went to university in any case to study law until God came to me one day and said, what doest thou yeah? I said, okay, God, you know, we have a problem here. My dad, he said, who is your daddy? Okay. You see, when you get saved, everything changes. Not some things change. Everything changes. Everything changes. And every relationship is now subject to your vertical relationship. Now God comes first. Not your father, not your mother, not your brother, not your girlfriend, not your culture, not your tradition. Now God comes first. Oh, come on, don't look at me like this. Say amen tonight. Took many years for us to get back to a good place before he left us up. Already started the church in Lady Brand. I brought him to church once, and he was an elder in a church. Good man, godly man, saved. Didn't walk in the truth that we walk in today, so we can't criticize generations who never had the light. But the Bible says, too much is given, much will be required. So this generation has received a lot. So God will require a lot from you, because you know things that we never knew at your age. Come on, somebody. Sat with my dad one day on his bed and told him my story. Oh, he knew I was saved, came to church, didn't like it, didn't like the happy clappy, didn't like the jumping, didn't like the fact that I talk in tongues and now I'm in an English church. Why forsake your people? Yo oma gaan in die graf omdraai, all die nonsense wat mense kwyt raak. Because I grew up with my people are the Afrikaans people. I've gone so far over this bridge of racism so that when people talk about my people and they exclude me in this country as a politician, I say, what people are you talking about? There's only one blood. There's only one human race. You don't get a black race and a white race. There's one race. Stop excluding white people from your conversation in South Africa. But that's how I lived. I lived my people, my folk, my taal, my fatherland. Nou ek kritiseer dit nie, ek sê weer eens, dis die lig waarin mense gewandel het, tot die Here die skille van my oë afgehaal het, en ek sien die waarheid, wat Christus is, en waarvoor Jesus gekom het. Why did Jesus come? God so loved the world, the whole world, not just my world. So I'm quiet when people say, you know, I was in CRC for a while, but I just want to go back to my people. I want to go back to my people. I want to go back to my language. I want to go back to my color. I want to go, and I say nothing, but I think, what are you even talking about? Are you telling me that heaven's climate is too much for you? That you want to go away from heaven? Jesus said, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place. Every tongue, tribe, and nation. There is not a little compartment for your people. Oh, come on, shout, man. Look alive tonight. Hallelujah. So with my dad, it was a big issue. Because I was raised as an Afrikaner. I go to an English Bible school. I have to learn words like sanctification, justification, righteousness, redemption. Things I knew nothing about. Well, I got an A for English. I could speak English, but not Bible English. But when God saved me, he saved me totally. And it brought conflict. You have to hear me tonight. It brought conflict in my family. Exactly what Jesus spoke about. He said, when I come, I don't come to smooth things over. I don't come to make everything safe and comfortable. When I come to disrupt. I come to confront. I come to stir. I come to revive. I come to bring life. I come to challenge every relationship in your life. I mean, my girlfriend at that time, I mean, first thing I did, I came back to church. I told her, I got saved. She looked at me like I was speaking Spanish. I mean, I brought her to church, and for her it was like, no, what is this? Because she liked the world. She didn't want Jesus. Don't think everybody wants Jesus when you get on fire for God. Don't think everybody wants to be on fire for God as well. Some people aren't finished with sin. And if you hang out with those people that are not finished with sin, after you've told your story, their sin will end up polluting you. That's why you have to sometimes break relationships. So I had a decision to make, not to dishonor my father, disown my father, but to say to him, Dad, I don't know what to say to you. You know, as a young man, you gave me beers. Sometimes you give me this, that. You give me money. You knew I was doing things that wasn't Christian. You never had a problem. Now I've given my life to Jesus, and because I talk about Jesus, suddenly there's a problem. It's like we read about Paul this morning. Suddenly I'm the crazy one. Suddenly I'm the mad one. Suddenly I'm the one who've lost my mind since Jesus touched me. But everybody wants Jesus as long as you just keep it under the radar. Let's not disrupt anything. Let's have a church where everybody can walk in dead and walk out dead. Let's not say anything that will confront anybody, that will ruffle anybody's feathers. Well, that wasn't Jesus, my dear friend. He wasn't gentle, Jesus, meek and mild. He addressed the issues of the day. He made a clear point. He said, I've come to start a fire. Well, eventually my father got saved, gave his life to the Lord, never joined the church, which is okay, he's in heaven now. But it was a huge issue for him. Because he had a dream for me, but my heavenly father had another dream. So I initially pursued the dream of my earthly father until God came to me. And then I reminded my father without condemning him, I said, but Omar, she made a vow to God. I can tell you many miracles that my grandmother had. My grandmother, my great-grandmother, by the way, on my mother's side, was baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1900, 1899. There was a revival in South Africa. People don't even know this. Many churches today that are stuck in religion, they were actually churches that God used to bring revival to South Africa. But then they got stuck in a format. They got stuck in a method. They got stuck in a place, and they stopped making the main thing, which is to preach the gospel to every tongue, tribe, and nation. So they came and they began to build walls around their culture, walls around their tradition, walls around their language. And then God said, okay, I haven't only come for the Afrikaner or for the Sotho or for the English or for the Baptist or for the Presbyterian. I've come for all the people of South Africa and every pastor in South Africa. You better hear me. You better open the doors of your church. I say it with humility, and allow people to come to that church and be the healing hand of God to the people of South Africa. Even if your own so-called people leave you, you have to open the door so God's people can come. Somebody say amen, because that's good preaching. When I began to follow God, many of my people left me. Hundreds. Because they could not stomach a Jesus that I preached that said, it's a church for all people. And whenever people left, they would say, now, if you still think like that, my question is, Visio Ayamensa, who are your own people? Are they Sotho? Khoza? Pedi? Spanish? French? Afrikaans? Think what religion has done. Think that religion, not laying blame at any church, but religion, that have caused segregation in the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I've come to confront. When the church was asleep in South Africa, God had to raise up a political party to challenge. The church could not reform the society. So God had to bring a judge. Because the church preached apartheid. Oh, clap better than that. Otherwise, I'll say amen. Zimbabwe, God bless you. I haven't even begun yet, and some of you can't stomach what I'm saying. Like I said this morning, I tell my story. I tell it behind doors where there are only white leaders, and they all look at me and they say, well, we were never like you. I mean, I was 17. I never made apartheid, legislated it. I never even voted. But I own up that I was a racist, because I was born and made a racist. Went to school in brown uniform, marched twice a week in brown uniform. Every black person was swapu, 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 swapu. Your young generation know nothing. You just sit on your little blessed assurances and have an opinion. Black people could not come in the front door. They had to go in a little kiosk in the back. You don't even know this. How demeaning that colored people were categorized with a pencil through their heads. Go to the pass office and say, you classified this, you classified that, and the church was walking with a government like this, and the church allowed that atrocity in our country. So we cannot blame politics. We have to talk to the church of Jesus Christ, the church that has allowed. So how can we be true to God and not address the very thing the cross addresses? How can we in this era, as pastors in this country, when there's a platform, not even open the Bible and preach the gospel, but rather preach the view of a political party, and you're a pastor, you're a bishop, you're an apostle, you're a man of God. Where do you come from? You are not worth your title, I want to tell you now, because you are appointed by God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, a gospel of reconciliation, a gospel that will open the eyes of the blind, a gospel that will heal the broken heart, a gospel that will give hope to people. Oh, somebody shout amen in the name of Jesus. And people think they get saved and there's going to be no persecution. You better believe there's persecution. I mean, my family ended up, they never invited us to family functions anymore. My friends, I never left them, they left me. Because I wasn't going to go to the clubs anymore. I wasn't going to go to the pubs anymore. Oh, I went to the clubs for years, but to witness. Every Friday, every Saturday, you would find me in the same clubs with a Bible. And I would sit there and I would lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. In those years, it was the punk era. Okay, some of you don't even know what a punk is. But I brought them into the house of God. I had two rows of people. They looked like budgies and cockatiels with their hairs like this. But I got them saved in the clubs, high on cocaine, high on drugs. But I got them high on the Holy Ghost, because I walked back, because this Jesus is stronger than alcohol. This Jesus is stronger than sin. This Jesus is stronger than marijuana. This Jesus is stronger than hatred. This Jesus is stronger than any issue of our day. Come on, somebody! Give the Lord Jesus a praise in this place. Since the day I got born again, you could not shut me up. I was in the army. I told everybody about Jesus. They tried to throw me off the officer's course. I was the third best in MLW, Mechanized Leadership Wing, as a lieutenant. The first prayer I prayed was saved a few weeks. I said, God, make me a lieutenant. I asked him so I can influence the next JLs, junior leaders. I was one of the top three. I was paraded before the colonel on orders, and all the top brass sat there. I'm 18 years old. Sergeant Major marches me in front of all these people. That was a different South Africa. You didn't talk back. These people had the power to throw you in prison any second. My knees were having fellowship with one another. Amen. But I knew it's going to be okay. And the Holy Ghost said to me, because I read it in the Bible, think not what you will say, but it will be given you in the very hour. I walked in there and I told them, I have to tell people about Jesus Christ. I was blind, now I see. I was lost, now I'm found. And he asked me a question. He said, if you go to the border and one of your troops are killed, Will you say it is God or is it the devil? I said, I'm not going to say whether it's God or whether it's the devil. I'm going to tell people about Jesus Christ long before people get shot. I'm going to make sure that they are children of God born again. And he was silenced. By the way, the one who brought me on orders was the chaplain. The same chaplain that through the years said, "Ooh, I've never seen a Christian like you. You're such a wonderful person." But because I wasn't in his denomination, I was a threat. It wasn't about Jesus. It was about denomination. It was about religion. It was about everything but the gospel of Jesus Christ that Jesus died for to give us to share with our world. Can you say amen to that? I gave my life to Jesus. I lost most of my friends. When I began to follow God, and I'm saying a factual thing. When I started the church in Lady Brand, 1987, I started going out there. 1988, moved there. Lady Brand, in those years, they had Afrikaner Lady Brand. It was a CP area, a political party that doesn't exist today. The headquarters of the PSP, which was a security unit, which would go into Lesotho and other neighboring countries and take people out, literally. It was a very controlled town. God tells me, start a church, a non-racial, multiracial church. I told my pastor, he said, it's never going to work. Never going to work. It's never going to work. 1988, apartheid South Africa. It's never going to work. Oh, I had people tell me, we're not called for the black people. I had people, Christians, who talk in tongues. I don't know what tongues they actually talk in. Because if you're really baptized in the Holy Ghost, the first thing you get is your eyes open to see people through the eyes of Jesus Christ. You can't talk in tongues and be a racist. It's not possible. Started that church 1988. We're going to celebrate our 30th year, Lady Brand. Going to pitch a thing over whole Lady Brand 30 years ago. Okay, And people started coming to church. People came from Lesotho. Business people came. Black people came. All nations started coming because that was my heart. And the more black people came, the more gesiene mense left. Oh, when people walked in like Gabriel, like he said this morning, they didn't walk in with suits. They were poor. They lived in shacks. The black people who came are not the people that come now with fancy cars. They were people that were rejected, climbed 16 in Pastor Edward Quena's bucky, came to church, a little Datsun bucky. And the hoi polloi, because that church in Lady Brand was a very influential church in the Eastern Free State. We had all the big farmers come to church, can give their names to you. The so-called people. That's why people say to me, "Ooh, somebody important came to church." I say, who is that? I don't mean it unkindly. When I walk into your world, I'm going to bow and I'm going to honor God for you and I'll honor you, etc. When we come here, the ground is level. Amen. Everybody's welcome. Whether you come and stop here with a Bentley or whether you come here on your two feet, you are the same. You are royalty. You are a king. You are a priest. You are created in the image of God. You have a beautiful future. You have a great destiny. And I want to look you in your eye and tell you that God loves you the same. That you're not a second best person. You're not an inferior person. That Jesus died for you the same way he died for the rich person. So God blesses the church. We build the church and there it began. People come and they say to me, "Pastor, you know, we're not in that little building anymore. We're now in a nice building and let's just be, you know, like normal." I've had it every time we build a building. People want me, "Let's just tone things down." Hey, that's under, I'm going to run around the building. I'm not toning nothing down. I'm going to stand in my head. Thank you very much. I'm going to make a point in the name of Jesus that this is not about who we think are the important people in our community, because tomorrow they'll be in a grave and they'll be eaten by worms like any poor person will be eaten by worms. The only thing that matters is if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, come on, and what you are doing for God's kingdom. Oh, come on, somebody say amen. You know I'm preaching the truth here tonight. In the name of Jesus. Sure, we focus on influential people so that through them we can reach their companies. But we're not going to fall over. If you don't want to fall over for Jesus Christ, if you don't want to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, we are not going to bow before you. Thank you. I don't care how big your muscles, how big your bank balance, how many cars in your garage. If you can't bow to Jesus Christ, then you're not going to strong arm any church in our vision because you have money. Peter said to Simon the sorcerer, who tried to manipulate them, he said, your money perished with you. So people started coming, opened the church, all the fancy people from the states around the farms come, and the poor people come as well. 1988, 1989. And one after the other, the fancy people start leaving. My keyboard player, all the same reason. All the same reason. I want to be among my people. You know, if that's all I say tonight and somebody gets it, it will revolutionize your life. Because how can you be born again and still say, my people, who are your people? Your people are the body of Christ. Your people is the church of Jesus Christ. Your people are the family in heaven and the family on earth. Your people are the people Jesus Christ died for. Your people are the people that accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Come on. Your people are the people that were created in the image and the likeness of God. Your people are the people that come from one blood in the name of Jesus Christ. There is no illegitimate human being on this earth. Everybody belongs to everybody in the name of Jesus Christ. Say amen in the name of Jesus. So I preached this when I came to Bloomington and people left the church. Every week I had a pastor come and say, this family left, that family left, these families left, but more people came. As the revival broke out, because people want revival on their terms. They don't want revival God's way. They want revival that is comfortable to them on their terms. With the people they think are the ones God will use revival. Have you read your Bible? That the Bible says, not many who are mighty, not many who are noble according to the flesh, not many who are celebrated in the earth will God use in these last days. But God will use the nobodies. God will take the somebodies. God will take the people that are hungry for Him. People who dare to believe that God can use them. Do I have people like that tonight? Shout amen in Jesus. Not really getting to my message, but I'm saying this tonight because some of you, you put up your hand to be used by God and you think it's just going to be plain sailing. But when you walk for Jesus Christ with the power and the fire of Jesus Christ, you will disrupt environments. You will unsettle people. You will cause people to be confronted with truth that they would never be confronted. And many people walk away from that because it's uncomfortable. Rather than say, Oddball Survivor, I also was wrong. I also was blind. I also hurt people before I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Where are those people who say that? Everybody I meet and I tell my story, people say, well, I was never like you. Well, I'm not asking you whether you were like me. I'm asking you to tell your story. What were you? You were a drunkard. You were a sinner. You slept around. You were a fornicator. You were an adulterer. You were a liar. You were a swearer. You were I'm not saying you are. I say you were. But now we walk around like we have angel wings. You weren't born with angel wings. Thank you. You walk around like you've got this halo around your head. And you don't tell your story. Why is it that we can't tell our story and glory in Him? I was lost. But nobody else was. I played golf with a person that was influential, wherever. And we're talking about South Africa and the journey from 94 and whether he believes the country is on track from his point of view. And then he asks me a question. He says, I don't understand. My son is your age, 50. His son is about 52. He says, my son is your age. He's got a lot of anger. Because a lot of us that come out of a 26 war in South Africa that are dealing with things that has never been dealt with, that are being suppressed. A lot of anger. A lot of issues in people's hearts. A lot of things being suppressed because people never dealt with those issues. And he said to me, why is my son so angry? And really the discussion was that a philosophy was sold to people in South Africa, and then those people that believed that philosophy and fought for that philosophy in the border, in Angola, against Cubans, against Russians, against FAPLA, against whoever you want, the so-called enemy, the next day, those people were told, no, things are changing, without anybody owning up that we were deceived or we misled you. So I said to him, there's a reason your son is angry. Have you ever told him that what you did wasn't right? He says, but I saw no problem with apartheid. I'll leave it there. I shouldn't be preaching. I should have been a politician, an activist. He's going to handle this nonsense. This Christian, lukewarm, smiley, hypocrisy. They do not say things for what they are to actually heal people that are looking for honesty. His son has an alcohol problem, been through several marriages. He doesn't understand why. Many people, white people, have no hope because they believed a lie. And I mean, I was in a meeting, and it's not their choice. It's a lie that was sold. So it's not a good thing if a black government now wants to come and slam white people. A black government should actually extend a hand to white people and say, we love you. You are part of South Africa. Come on board. Many white people were on the wrong side of this evil apartheid system as well. Young people sitting here today, they never had a vote. Oh, come on, can I have some of our black members just shout? Come on. As much as Pastor Gabriel needed a healing hand, I believe there are white people that need a healing hand from a black brother, from a black sister. There are white people that are plagued with guilt and plagued with shame. Oh, they are the racists, they are the extreme people, but the majority of white people in South Africa want to see this country succeed, and they want to be part of the solution. All they need is for some people to walk to them and to say, I love you, my brother, I love you, my sister, and to be a healing balm to those people. Come on, CRC, in Jesus' name. I cannot change what I did as a teenager, beating up on black people. But for the rest of my life, I will make up what I can make up. Put my arm around black people, love black people, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to black people. Be part of the solution. Sat with a bunch of important people. And people are important, I give that. God raises our people in positions of authority, business, government, sport, politics. We understand that. But I said to a premier the other day, since I've been a pastor in Bloemfontein, there's been 5 premiers. You people come and go. Everybody with a different vision. I'm still in Bloemfontein. I'm still reaching people. I'm still feeding the poor. Our vision is still the same. When you people come and go, political parties come and go, the Church of Jesus Christ will still be there. We're still going to preach the gospel of reconciliation. You can bring the vision for the next election campaign. We are still going to be preaching the gospel of reconciliation. Amen. I say to people, I said, you know, the old South Africa, the person said to me, there was no old South Africa. It's okay. Until you don't see. You see, the scales had to fall off Paul's eyes. He was persecuting Christians. He was murdering Christians. And the only thing that can cause the scales to fall off is a true encounter with Jesus Christ. I had that encounter. If you saw my life if you had a movie of my life 5 years before I came to Jesus, you would never think I had a snowball's hope in hell to be a preacher of the gospel. How violent I was, how angry I was, how racist I was. Every weekend. How many times I was arrested. But like Pastor Gabriel says, I mean, he's the most smiling person that you meet today. But he wasn't like that. That changed in a move of the Holy Ghost. When I'll never forget it, in Lady Brand, where the power of God was poured out and Pastor Gabriel was touched by the anointing. And he sat on the carpet for hours and hours and hours and days. And he just laughed and 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 laughed. And now he's smiling, Gabriel, like the angel. Hallelujah. Come on. Touched by the presence of God, touched by the fire of God, changed by the fire of God. Come on, allowing Jesus to be the center of his life. You see, we carry the healing balm, we carry the answer, but it's not going to come through gentle Jesus, meek and mild. It's going to come by going back to our world and telling our world, I was also blind. I was also thinking like you. I also came from Polokwane and I thought white people were demons. I also thought this. I also thought that. I also thought that. But then I met people and all people are not like that. I met somebody who told me. I met a man. I met Jesus Christ. My eyes opened. Come on. I was lost. I am found. I was just like you. I was sleeping around. But then I met Jesus Christ and he healed my heart. You don't have to sleep around. There's a better way. There's a better life. His name is Jesus Christ. We've got to tell our story. We've got to show things up. We've got to unsettle things in this world in the name of Jesus to get people's attention. Says, I never came to smooth things over. It's exactly what religion does. It smooths things over. It tickles our ears. First time people hear the truth, they always say, we didn't get it. Wie dink jy is om so te praat? Huh? I pray that God opens our eyes. I pray that God gives us a fresh understanding of love. I pray that God uses each and every one of us sitting in this country. We're sitting here tonight, tens of thousands of people across South Africa, that we will be the hands of Jesus, that we will stop compromising. And we will not go and judge people, but we will go and tell our story. And we will take this message, even if it means losing friends, even if it means losing popularity, that we will go and tell people. And when you sit with your friends and they talk about them and us, you say, I also used to think like that. I also used to talk about them and us. Them and us. You know, when a politician says, our people, or they, and I sit there and I say, you're not going to take black people away from me. They are my family. Thank you very much. You're never going to exclude me. It's not going to happen. I'm going to stick to this country. I'm part of this country. I'm as African as you are African. I don't care whether my ancestors came on a boat. I'm here to stay and to make a difference in South Africa. Somebody shout amen.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
Say, Lord Jesus, I give my life back to you. Tonight I open my heart and I invite you to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Please forgive my sin. Wash me in your blood. I believe with all my heart that you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. I give my life to you. Thank you for hearing my prayer and for accepting me and for giving me a new beginning. Thank you for loving me. Use me now to make a difference in my world. I surrender all to you. Everything. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.